Heavenly Father, we do come before Thee this morning, truly thankful for the blessings of life. I thank Thee for these loved ones who have gathered together this morning. And I know that they have come for one purpose, and that's to become closer unto Thee, that they might receive of Thee this morning, of Your Spirit, of Your spoken word, and through Sunday school, that we might gain those things, receive those things that would ever draw us closer unto Thee. We thank Thee and praise Thee for this opportunity. I thank Thee for this opportunity that is now ours to be received of Thy spoken word. I do pray for my son, Kevin. Pray that You might be with him. I know that You will be with him. I know that he has made preparation. I know that he has sought Thee. I know the desire of his heart is to share those things that You've placed there, that we might be edified, that we might be lifted up, that we might be strengthened, not by His words, but by Your words. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that we have received mightily. I know that we have received many marvelous blessings in this congregation. And dear Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for the gift of administration that You've placed within Your church, for I know that I've received many marvelous blessings. I know that each one of us here has been witness to many, many healings and comfortings. For I know that we have a Heavenly Father that only wants the best for His children. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray for forgiveness for our shortcomings, those times that we fail to heed Thee, those times that we've failed to take advantage of those opportunities that You present to us every day of our lives. For we know that we are the body of Your Son here upon this earth to go about this work as He did, to share the good news, the blessings that come from this gospel. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray for like meetings where they're held in Thy Son's name this morning, for we have a desire that all should come to the knowledge of this gospel. Everyone in this world. For we know that it brings true joy, lasting joy. Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray for the little one who is to be administered to. I pray that Austin might receive that blessing that he stands in need of this morning. We know that he has received many mighty and marvelous blessings in his short life, and we pray at this time for once again that blessing to be upon him. Again, I pray for Your presence here in spirit, that we might, each one of us might receive what we stand in need of this day. And these things I do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And we will take care of that administration at this time. It's good to stand before you this morning. It's good to stand up here with my son, Kevin. And I look out in this group and I see a diverse group. I see us who have come into this church through, I'm not going to say marriage, but that's the way it started. That is the way it started for me, and through that relationship, that marriage and the relationship with each one of you, I found the truth in this church, and I know that I was called of the Lord. And I see others out in this congregation, other ministers who were raised in this church and just were naturally here to hear all the gospel and also have been called of the Lord. And I thank the Lord that we have this diverse group. I thank the Lord that I look out in this congregation and we have a young congregation. 30 years ago, I didn't think I would ever see this. And I know that I look out in these young ones and I see the Lord working with them also. And I know that ministry that is so vital, not only to this church, but to the world, will continue. I know that He continues to work with these young people through His Spirit and through you and I, through the examples that we've set. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. I know I don't show emotion very easily, but I am excited. And I'm excited to stand up here with my son. And I'm very, we're not supposed to say proud, but I am proud of all my sons. I'm proud of Kevin. I'm proud that he has taken the responsibility that is his, both as a husband and a father and as a minister to you and I. So without further ado, my son Kevin.
Hello. How is everybody? Doing good? Okay. Is it on? Okay. Had a birthday yesterday, turned 30. Feel like I handled it pretty good, especially compared to my wife. She couldn't get out of bed all day. She was just sobbing. So I think I did okay. But, we're at the beginning, kind of at the beginning of a new year. And, I had a kind of a big birthday and got me thinking about time and time in general in my life. And looking back and thinking about, everything that I've gotten to do, all the places I've been and experience I've had and how quickly it's all gone by. And it's really strange to think that I've been alive for 30 years. It seems like a pretty significant amount of time. And things recently in my life, health concerns for myself and for my family also, have me looking over some of God's promises, and one in particular, in Isaiah. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah. In times of doubt and worry, it's good for us to reflect on the positives. And there's nothing more positive, nothing more sure than God's promises. And I'm going to start with the 28th verse, Isaiah 40. He says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I read that and you know, that sounds good. That sounds good to me. You know, I want that. I want when I'm weak to be renewed. Those times of doubt for my courage to be lifted up. You know, my life, sometimes it feels like I'm running all the time. And I know you feel like that. That you feel like it's just nonstop. You're going from here to there and here to there. And you get tired. And, you know, he promises us that in those times that we won't be weary. You know, and we can get bogged down in the daily grind, too, where it seems like every day is the same. You know, I've had, I think, months go by where it felt like I did the same exact thing every day. And it's easy to get bogged down in the details of each day and get tired from that, too. But even in those times of routine and in a rut, he promises us that we're not going to faint, that he's going to see us through. So I like to look at this promise and take strength from it. But like all of God's promises, it's conditional. You know, he doesn't say, "You are my people, I'm going to do this for you." He gives it with a condition. And the condition is that we have to wait upon the Lord. It says, "Those that wait upon the Lord will be blessed with these things." And I look at that and I think about waiting upon the Lord. And I think, you know, I think that there's a couple ways to take that. To wait upon can be to serve. You know, when we go to a restaurant where you have a server and they wait upon you. You know, they bring your food, or, you know, you need a drink, or bring you a drink. You know, you're being waited upon. They're serving you. And we do that with the Lord, hopefully. And that promise is true if we are serving him. But the way that I take it, more so, is the waiting is not an act of service. Well, it is, but it requires a period of time. You know, that waiting is a process. And so, you know, I think about that and realize that we live in a day and age where waiting is a problem. You know, waiting of any kind is a problem. You know, it's unacceptable. Who has time to wait? You know, I don't have time to wait. You know, I've got things to do. I've got places to go. You know, our stoplights are timed just right to minimize the waiting. We have to have cameras on stoplights now because people will refuse to wait for them. So we have cameras to take pictures of people that won't wait for a stoplight. You know, we have call waiting on our phones because someone cannot wait to be heard. If we're talking on the phone, we hear that little beep beep and we look and we see who's waiting for us. They know that we know they're there. They want to be heard now. You know, in my job, prescriptions, you know, you can get your $4 medications and you can get them for 90 days at a time because you wouldn't believe how many people get so angry they have to come every 30 days. You know, I have to come here once a month. I don't have time to come here every 30 days. You know, that's ridiculous. I got to have 90 days. I want to see you once every 90 days. You know, fast food cannot be fast enough. You know, when the internet, when everyone first got the internet, we all had dial-up. Remember dial-up? Remember how horrible dial-up was? We didn't know it was horrible until we got something faster. And now if you go to look something up and you're looking at that little bar and the page isn't instantaneous, you're like, what is going on here? I need information and I need it now. You know, we watch the news. And it's not enough that the person there is telling you about the news. We have to have a little ticker at the bottom updating to the minute, to the second of what's going on too. Everything has to be faster and now. And it's about us. It's about us. It was at work the other day, and one of the technicians was saying how much he liked Facebook. Because Facebook is so much faster than email. Email is not fast enough anymore. We have to have a way to get our information faster. We can't hardly slow down. You know, I was talking to a customer the other day, and her teenage son was having trouble sleeping, having sleep issues, couldn't get to sleep at night. And so, you know, they tried all these different medications. You know, nothing seems to work. And so I started to talk to her. I'm like, well, what is the evening like? Well, the evening was just nonstop. You know, the evening was this and then this and then this. And then to calm down, there was video games. Video games to calm down right before bed. And no wonder he can't sleep. You know, and I can't even count the number of buttons on a remote control, on a video game controller now. Their mind is going nonstop. But that's the world we live in. Everything is sped up, and it's become about us. And everything has been tailored, you know, I need it now, and I want it the way that I want it. And it's become very self-centered. And so when we read these promises, and we're required to wait, you know, that's hard. That's hard for us to do. You know, I look around, and I see churches, and they've started to change the times of their services to make it more convenient for people. You know, you don't have to wake up early. You know, you come in. We'll have a service earlier, but we'll have a service later too in the afternoon. And we'll not only change the time, we'll make it a contemporary service. I drove by a church a while ago, and the sign said, "Come as you are." You know, no changes required. You know, just come when you feel like. Come however however you're dressed. You know, whatever you have going on in your life, come in. It's okay. Come as you are. We'll change it to you. And so I look at our world, and I think about that time, and I think about this promise and what's required of it, and I realize that I want this promise. You know, I want to be lifted up. I want to be strengthened. I don't want to be tired. And I look at that, and I think, well, I can wait. You know, I can do that. I can give the Lord time. But that's not all that's required when we really look at it, because something else is necessary, and that's trust. You know, I may call it faith, but today I'm calling it trust. I'm describing it as trust. We have to trust God, and we have to trust that period of wait that we're waiting upon Him for whatever it is we've taken to Him, that wait is for a purpose. You know, that we're not just waiting to show that we can do it. You know, He's not saying God doesn't just arbitrarily pick this amount of time and see if we can last it out. You know, it's not a contest to see how long we can hold our breath. And then if we make it, then we get the answer to those prayers. That would be wasted time. And I don't believe that God intends it to be wasted. He intends for us to use that time to do a few things, to draw closer to Him. And we do that in prayer, and we do that through fasting, and we do that in contemplation about the things that we're asking for, the things that we're seeking. If you turn to Alma, in the 16th chapter, this is a period of wait. At page 429, the 16th chapter, 218. Unfortunately, there's going to be times that we have to wait every day. You know, and we may think we don't have the time to pray as much as we should, to fast, but we do. And this is how we do it. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye might begin to exercise your faith, your trust, under repentance. That ye begin to call upon His holy name, that He would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto Him for mercy, for He is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when ye are in your fields, over all your flocks, when you're at work, when you're sitting at your desk, when you're doing the daily monotony of your job. Have that prayer in your heart, on your mind. crying to him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. You know, we've made a habit to pray over every meal. You know, sometimes we forget. But it's been so good, and I think we've done a good enough job that when we forget, our kids remind us. You know, and they don't like it if we forget. You know, they let us know. Yea, crying to him against the power of your enemies. Yea, crying to him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Crying to him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full. Drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those around you. Prayer to be constantly there, crying out to the Lord in those times of wait. I'm going to turn to Mosiah. In the first chapter. And I'm going to start with verse 118. Chapter 1 of Mosiah, verse 118. You know, when you were, think back when you were a kid, when you're a little one and you got scolded, or think about, you know, the way you raised your kids. And there was a time when you acted up or they acted up, you know, and you grab them and you pull them aside and you set them in that timeout. You know, and you get down, and you're in the moment, and you're looking at them, and they're ready to sit there by themselves. And what is this? What is the thing that you always say? What did you hear? What is the statement when you are scolding a child and making them sit alone by themselves? You say, "I want you to sit here, and I want you to think about what you've done." And you know they're not going to do it, but you tell them that every time. I want to read verse 118. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children, and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint, through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all the things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. You know that when you set your child in time out, the separation is a punishment because they don't want to be there. But you want that time to be used for a reason. You want them to actually think about what they've done. You want them to consider, you know, why they're there, and hopefully to make better choices. Do your children trust you? Yeah. You know, it's humbling, and it's kind of scary how much trust, you know, our kids have in them. You know, from the time that they're born and continuing, you know, mommy and daddy know exactly what we need. You know, I look out here, and we've all been blessed with great parents. And we all, you know, we all have that. And we know what it is to trust in them. And most of us have kids, and we know what it is for our children to trust in us. So I have to ask, I find myself asking almost a rhetorical question, but I ask it to myself is kind of a wake-up call. And, you know, I could ask it to you, and I could you can ask it to anybody. And you can just ask them the basic question. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Do you believe that there is a God? And do you believe that God, do you trust that He created the world? You know, we look out and we look at the world. We look at everything that's in it. The awesomeness of creation. You know, we take stock of everything that's been created and the way that the world works. You know, we look at the seasons, the change of seasons. You know, I think about with anyone who's ever questioning creation. You know, I think about instinct. And to me, instinct is one of the surest signs of God. You know, there was a series, and it's called Planet Earth. And on one of them, it was all these you know, amazing things in nature. And on one, they were showing these turtles. And these certain kinds of turtles that will swim about 1,000 miles from where they live, and they circle and they thrive and they eat, and they will swim about 1,000 miles to this specific island. And they will crawl up on the shore, and they will lay their eggs, and they will bury those eggs in the sand. And then after some period of time, I don't know how long it takes for turtles to hatch, but these baby turtles, they're just born. They have no memory. They've been taught nothing. They know to crawl straight to the water. And they know how to swim. And they swim back to where that mother turtle was. Not to join them, but they know that's where they're supposed to be. How do they know that? They've never been shown that. But they swim back to those waters. And when the time comes and they're ready to lay their eggs, they will swim back to that island. They just know how to do it. There are things that we just know how to do. We see it in the animal world. We see it in the human world. It's just there. It's amazing. So we can trust, and I can look at you, and I know that each one of us believes that God did this. This wasn't happenstance. God made this. So if we can accept all these amazing things were created by God, how can we doubt His love? You know, in those times of wait, how can we doubt His love for us? If He was able to do all those things, then He is able to give us what is right. You know, I ask you if you love your children. You know, do you love your children? You know, what a ridiculous question. You know, I'm sure that there's maybe in the teenage years, you know, a parent has heard their kid ask them that question, you know, come to them, do you love me? You know, and you think, you just want to smack them. Because how could they ever ask that question? You know, you would do anything for your child. You would do anything for them. You want nothing but the best for your kids. You know, but one of the hardest things about being a parent is you don't always know what's best. I've seen that. I've seen that in the 5 years that I've had kids. I don't always know what's best. I don't always know the best way to handle a situation. You have more than one kid, they're different. So, well, hey, this worked for this child. It's probably not going to work for the other one. It may, but you don't know. Their needs are different. So we don't always know. But we know that God knows. We know that as much as we love our children, and that's what's hard is when, you know, I'm worried about my kids, knowing how much I love them and how much I'm worried about them, to understand that God loves them more and that God loves me more. And to know that He wants what's best for us and He knows what's best for us. It's never unsure. You know, and that we would do anything for our children, God did do. God did everything for us. This whole creation, it was for us. He sent His Son to die for us. You know, when we think about Christ's love for us, He gave Himself to die for us. And if we ever find ourselves doubtful or unworthy, we should read John, the 17th chapter. But I want to read 1 John. I'm going to read out of the book of 1 John and the 4th chapter. And I'm going to start with the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. He loves us, and there's no questioning that. And there's no questioning that we know what's right. The question is if we are going to accept it. As it says in Mosiah there, that if we are willing to submit to all the things that He sees fit to inflict upon us. It's hard, but there's a purpose. So that weight in which we're struggling, whatever it is, if it's a personal trial, if it's a trial of health, if it's work, if it's something, you know, a desire for someone else that we've been praying for a long time and we think that it's not going to pay off, and this waiting brings us down, we need to remember that this is the Lord's plan. There's a purpose in it. And He talks about His purpose in Romans, the 5th chapter of Romans. First verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That waiting, it builds our patience. And then, if we can find a way to get through that, to be patient, to accept that trial, to accept the weight that's required, it gives us something else. It gives us experience. So then the next time around, when something difficult comes up in our life, we can look back. And we're quick to forget. And I forget really, really easily. You know, I forget about the blessings that I've been given. But if we can look back and we can remember that time and say, you know, this was really hard. But I kept my faith and I kept my trust, and God saw me through. It gives us that experience. And when we've had enough experience, then we have that hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If we give that Holy Ghost its proper place and the time to work within us, God's going to have His plan fulfilled. That time of wait. There's a song. There's a song called "The Waiting," and it's about a guy and a girl and his relationship. But there's a line that very much applies. And he says, one of the chorus lines says, "You take it on faith. You take it to the heart. But the waiting is the hardest part." And sometimes the waiting is the hardest part. Building that patience up. You know, we, like our kids, we need a time out every now and then. You know, we need a time to set aside by ourselves in the corner and to think about what we've done. You know, to take stock of our lives, to look at our choices, and trust His guidance. My parents always told me that the time speeds up as the older you get, and it's true. It goes by so fast. You know, it goes by so fast. You know, we have such little time. You know, and our children, they grow, you know, so quickly. You know, my girls are getting, older girls are getting so big, and I can't hardly believe it. You know, and they catch you off guard with things that they say, and you get caught up in the speed of life. And those little times that you notice how much things are changing. You know, and I use this birthday as a time to reflect, you know, and look at what I've done with my time, you know, and each of us need to do that, to reflect and ask ourselves, you know, am I satisfied? Because we have a set amount of time on this earth, and we don't know how long it's going to be. So we need to ask ourselves, are you happy with yourself? And I'm not talking about your job. Your job may be great. That doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. It's good. I'm not talking about the stuff that we've managed to accumulate, you know, that the world tends to measure us by. I'm talking about our spiritual life, you know, and the state of our soul. You know, are you happy? Are you satisfied? Are you at peace with where you are? Turn to Alma 3. In the, you know, it's verses I'm going to read. I'm actually going to read, start with the 47th verse. Have you walked, keeping yourselves blameless before God? Could you say, if you were called to die this time within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble? That your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, which will come to redeem His people from their sins? Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if you are not prepared to meet God. Behold, you must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such a one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say unto you, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you that such a one is not prepared, and I would that he should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come. For such a one is not found guiltless. And again I say unto you, is there one among you that doth make a mock of his brother, or one that heapeth upon him persecutions? Woe unto such a one, for he is not prepared. And the time is at hand that he must repent, for he cannot be saved. Yea, even woe unto all the workers of iniquity, repent, repent, for the Lord God hath spoken it. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. If you're not prepared, what are we waiting for? What are you waiting for? If you haven't been baptized, and I looked, and I think basically everyone has, but if you haven't, there's no reason to wait. If you're here, you have those fundamental beliefs. And what's required of you now is action. So it's time. It's time to not procrastinate any longer. It's time to not waste those times of waiting upon the Lord, that we use it. You know, there's another song, and a line says, time is on my side. And you know what? Time is on our side until it's not. I mean, we have all the time in the world, until it's run out. And then it's too late. There's a really popular preacher, and I tend to bring him up because he makes me so angry. But he has a new book. And the title of his book is called, It's Your Time. And it's not our time. It's God's time. And he's given it to us. And we're to use it for what he intends us to use it for. Not to pray and use that time of waiting to plead that God will give us what we want. But to use that time that what our will should be blended with his. That we should be willing to accept what he's given us. To serve him. To stop doubting. To not limit his blessings anymore. To not limit our happiness anymore. That's all. I have one more scripture to read in closing. I hope that maybe you'll think about this. You know, maybe I've brought something that will cause you to think. That whatever it is that you're praying for right now, there's something that you've been praying for. And it's getting hard because you've been praying for it a long time. And you know, you've been seeking this blessing a long time. Don't give up. Be patient. And in the third chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs is like a wise grandpa, you know, the grandma that had all the advice and all the tips to give you, and they say it and you just know that it's truth. And I want to read the first verse. Start with the first verse, Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Thank you for your attention.